Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. If you'll hold on just a second, there's some music playing in the background, which was not expected. Hold on just a second. This is quite distracting, isn't it? Okay, I resolved it. Thank you very much for your patience. Now, I have an extremely exciting lineup of guests today. Two ladies from SaneVax.org, which is a site that talks mostly about the HPV vaccine. I am anxious to interview them about the many things that are transpiring, and I have a couple of questions for them as well. So please welcome both Frida Burrell and Norma Erickson of SaneVax.org. Hello.
Hello.
And who is this?
This is Frida. Frida Burrell.
Wonderful. Frida Burrell, and I'm going to pick up Norma Erickson now. Is this Norma Erickson?
Hello. Wonderful to be here, Sally. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. I know that a lot has been transpiring, and I'm going to open the floor for you and Frida to speak about these very, you know, fast-moving, fast-paced issues that are happening in the world of HPV, Gardasil, and Cervarix.
Yes, yes, that's correct, Sally. And I was wondering if I could give a little bit of input into what has been happening in Europe, and in particular France, as I know Norma will be picking up on Japan. Will that be okay?
Perfect.
Okay, well, there's 4 points of reference that I'm going to discuss. Work of a member of the European Parliament, French petition, legal matters, and a whistleblower. So I'm going to start off by introducing you to Michel Rivasi, who is a member of the European Parliament for a region in France. I first heard about Michel a good few months ago and noted that she had a concern about the HPV vaccine Gardasil. Now, that is really quite rare within politicians. As I said, she is a member of the European Parliament, and she represents a section, an area, a region in France for the Green Party. Since making contact with her office, I have sent her all relevant information, press releases, and articles from SaneVax. Now, this has been a very good contact indeed, and I was advised firsthand about the press conference that took place in Paris on the 2nd of April 2014. Apart from many members of the press, presentations were given by Dr. Chris Shaw, Dr. Lucia Tomljanovic from the University of British Columbia in Canada, Professor Romain Gerardi, and Professor Jerome Autier from Hospital Henri Mondor, as well as the attorney representing some of the families who are taking legal action, along with victims and families there also. How this all came about, excuse me, the President of France, President Hollande, has intimated he wishes to see an increase in uptake of this vaccine in France. Today, many whistleblowers, researchers, physicians, and health professionals are against the objective set in the cancer plan announced by François Hollande on the 4th of February of this year, which is to double the coverage of vaccination of young girls with Gardasil until 2021. The reason there is mounting opposition is there is no evidence to date demonstrating efficacy of the vaccine against the occurrence of cervical cancer. In their opinion, it could take up to 20 years to obtain such evidence. And it is known that the duration and protection of the vaccine is limited to time. An indecent campaign of communication was engaged years ago to promote this vaccine. Lobbying campaigns and aggressive advertising were conducted, playing on the fears and guilt, especially of mothers. And I know that this is exactly the same that has been happening in America as well as in the United Kingdom. One of the commercials in France was banned by the Medicines Agency in August 2010 for lack of objectivity. Now, the conclusion to this press conference, which actually only lasted for about an hour and a half, was a call from the MEP, Michel Vivasi, for a moratorium to be implemented by all 28 member states to stop recommending this vaccine until more studies are conducted on Gardasil and to look into its effectiveness, if any, and its dangers. So that was the first point on a member of the European Parliament who is standing up and putting her head above the parapet. French petition. Now, this petition has been prepared for medical professionals to put their names demanding the establishment of an emergency parliamentary commission to investigate whether HPV vaccines are necessary in the battle against cervical cancer. The doctors, midwives and pharmacists who have signed the petition believe Gardasil and Cervarix are inefficient and too expensive, making the products unsuitable for mass vaccination programs. This petition specifically addresses concerns medical professionals have in regards to proposed mass HPV vaccination programs. This is only for medical professionals or government health officials, but can be signed by any medical professional anywhere in the world if they agree with the points made. This is not just confined to France. There are 1,114 signatures as of today's date. Can you still hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I put myself on mute because I am coughing on and off, and I didn't want to interrupt you. So, yes.
Oh,
I
that's fine. I I just wanted to make sure. Can I continue?
Yes, please do.
Yes. The third point I raised is legal. Now, this is the up-to-date situation that I'm aware of, the legal cases in France. At the moment, there are 9 complaints filed against X. That is how they describe it in France. But in addition to this, there is one case filed against Sanofi Pasteur MSD, distributor for Merck. Sanofi Pasteur is main agent for the Gardasil vaccine in Europe. So that makes 10 cases in all. Now, in France, unlike America, unlike the UK, it is possible to sue the laboratory. Now, in addition to that, the parents of Adriana Kolbecher, a young girl from the Pyrenees who sadly died on the 20th of October 2010, this family have decided to go to court, and it is my understanding that this has happened this past week. This is a manslaughter complaint, and this will be the first criminal case to be brought against the HPV vaccine. The other cases are mostly for involuntary, physical, and aggravated deception reached. But I've also been informed that by the end of April, 25 other girls and their families are going to sue Sanofi Pasteur for unintentional injuries, violation of a manifested obligation security, and breach of the principles of precaution and prevention. So the total by the end of April should stand at 35 cases plus the manslaughter case. Now, that is happening in France, which, and knowing France as I do, they're a country that they fight for things they believe in. They're much more aggressive than we are here in the United Kingdom. So naturally, we wish them very well in all these events. Now, the last point on France is the whistleblower. And I'll read a little bit here that we've got written down, but I've ready to hopefully get out soon. The temperature of the heated controversy concerning Gardasil was recently raised even more when Dr. Bernard Dalberg in France, former pharmaceutical industry physician with Merck, recently predicted that the Gardasil vaccine will become the greatest medical scandal of all times. in an interview in the April 2014 magazine called Health Principles, Dr. Dalberg, who has worked for over 20 years with the industry, describes the widespread corruption and his concern that the health of patients is sacrificed on the altar of profitability. Dr. Dalberg stated, "I predict that Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all times because at some point in time, the evidence will add up to prove that this vaccine has absolutely no effect on cervical cancer." Has absolutely no effect on cervical cancer, and that all the very many adverse effects which destroy lives and even kill serve no other purpose than to generate profit for the manufacturers. According to Dr. Dalberg, the pharmaceutical industry has hardened considerably during the last decade, as shown by increased violations of ethics, manipulation of clinical trial data, widespread corruption, gross conflicts of interest, and generally less emphasis on pharmacovigilance. Hello?
Hello,
Sally. Hello.
I'm here. Have you concluded everything you wish to say? Because you have said so much.
I'm sorry for the interruption. My husband came up and he had popped the phone, our main phone, in his pocket, and it was whistling, and he didn't know what it was because he's deaf. So that's sorry for the interruption. If you don't mind, I can let you get an idea of how I got involved, and then let you know what political work we're doing in the UK and Europe.
Well, I just
would
like to
okay?
Yes, but may I just say, manslaughter charges are so appropriate. I am so enthused by this. Thank you. Please go on. I'm going to mute myself again.
Okay. Okay. How did Frida get involved? And Frida is a retired lady and should be sitting in the garden, etc., instead of at the computer all day and every day, and it's a huge job and a very, very important job. I got involved by accident in 2008. That is when the HPV vaccination program got started in the United Kingdom with Cervarix in September of that year. We were in Ireland on holiday at the August before the start of the program, and we met an American family and we became friends and we were emailing one another. And by the end of the year, she told me that her daughter had been harmed by this Gardasil vaccine. Now, at that time, I had no knowledge at all of Gardasil, Cervarix, etc. And that was when my journey started, and it's been the biggest learning curve of my life. And it's been wonderful. Wonderful is not the right word, but I have met such wonderful people all over the world. I speak with them regularly on Skype. We telephone one another. I have wonderful parents in the United Kingdom who I get massive of a support from. And I'm so privileged to know these people who have gone through such trauma, such heartache, who have lost their children, their only child, to these terrible vaccines. That I am so thrilled to be with Norma, Rosemary, Stephen, and our board. And, you know, we work hard and tirelessly to try and get the vaccines taken off the market to save the lives of these children. Well, the political work in the United Kingdom I do as an independent person, and I have visited the Scottish Parliament and the Parliament in London. Now, United Kingdom mothers are very good at lobbying their politicians. Here in the UK, we are able to go and visit our members of Parliament, Now, I could go and see my MP at least once a month if I wish. That's what is called a surgery. His constituents can just arrive and he would discuss their problems and deal with them on their behalf. Both the Scottish Parliament and the UK government are very much aware that our girls are being seriously injured by the HPV vaccines, Cervarix and Gardasil. But to them, it is all a coincidence, absolutely nothing to do with the vaccines. That is why, as a result of the developments in Japan, we are trying to highlight the difference in the way the Japanese treated their injured girls and the way our politicians are treating ours. So on the 29th of March 2013 in Japan, that was the date that the HPV vaccines were officially included in the Japanese vaccination program. On the 14th of June 2013, that is the date that Japan suspended this recommendation. And in this short period of time, 6 weeks, made this decision to state publicly that the vaccines were not recommended by the government. Why? Because they were seeing much greater reactions after HPV vaccination than they were with the other two vaccines which had been added to the program at the same time as the HPV vaccines. So what we are asking for is this, and this is the appearance as well in the United Kingdom and also throughout Europe. They are asking for the Secretary of State for Health in the United Kingdom government in London to have a meeting with a good number of UK families and their injured daughters to see firsthand the devastation that this has caused, to listen to their stories, to realise that many have been unable to go to school and have missed so much of their education, to discuss how these health issues increase, do not appear to go away, and only by paying for alternative therapy is there a chance of some recovery. Apart from the loss of education and stress, families are getting accused of fabricating the illnesses, inadequate care from the National Health Service, who simply have no idea how to treat these young girls. Remember, both of these vaccines are genetically engineered. Now, this request is also being made to the Shadow Secretary of State for Health. His name is Mr. Andy Burnham. And one of my UK mums has just sent me today a copy of a letter she'd have sent to Mr. Burnham asking that he too would meet up with families and their daughters and sit round a table and let them talk, let hear their voices and let him know that their girls have been harmed by this vaccine, their girls are still very sick after this vaccine, and nobody seems to care. And for the UK government in London and the European Parliament to hold open and public debates between their respective ministers and their teams of experts, and to invite scientists who through their work have highlighted great concerns about the HPV vaccines. Scientists from Europe, America, Israel, and many other countries could give their presentations outlining their concerns, just as what happened in Japan. Now, I know that Spain is going to be doing the same as what we've done here in the United Kingdom. I just heard from Ireland this evening, and they're going to do exactly the same. Denmark is hoping to do likewise. Finland has already put in their request for the same sort of similar meetings, and individual parents are writing to the members of the European Parliament. So we're trying our hardest to put as much pressure as we can on the UK government and on the European Parliament. And in addition to this, I sent to the committee that organises all the medicines and vaccinations for Europe, which covers the 28 states. So all of the 28 states are aware that we are very concerned about the vaccines. That can they follow Japan's lead, please, and at least treat the families, the girls who have been harmed, with the same kind of respect.
This is quite amazing how much information you have just imparted. this is very exciting news. I am thrilled that you are sharing this, and I hope you, what is happening in Europe will spread to the United States, because we are desperate to save our girls as well. And Gardasil, as far as I know, has no benefit. Am I correct in that?
I would say so.
This is a really big issue. I mean, even if no one died, if no one was physically injured, if no one was made sterile by this vaccine, where is any provable benefit?
Well, how I see it, and I'm sure Norma will come in as well, the vaccines do not cover all of the high-risk strains of HPV. They only cover strains 16 and 18, and Gardasil has the 6 and 11 as well. But there are other high-risk strains which can lead to cervical cancer or to dysplasia. Now, at this moment on our site, the figures for a number of cases of cervical cancer recorded via VAERS is 75. For cervical dysplasia is 238. And that is only the tip of the iceberg, because other high-risk strains are taking the place of 16 and 18 and are infecting the girls. And that is why Merck and GlaxoSmithKline insist that all girls are PAP screened, because they cannot guarantee they will not get cervical cancer.
Well, the PowerPoint presentation that was made to the FDA here in the United States very glaringly says prior to Gardasil, only middle-aged women and above got cervical cancer. And since the advent of Gardasil and Cervarix, this has now appeared in teenagers.
Yeah.
I mean, why would they then take this information and say, let's give it to the boys? Why aren't they saying, like the Japanese government, we must withdraw this poison from our youth? I'm very, very glad that you and Norma Erickson are working on this, Frieda Burrell. May I introduce Norma into the conversation at this point?
Thank you, Sally. You know, it might help your listeners to get kind of an example of what's happening with HPV vaccines in the United States. I'm going to take just 1 month's worth of VAERS reports. During 1 month, 31 days, there were 2 deaths, 25 people disabled, 8 life-threatening conditions, 136 emergency room visits, 80 hospitalizations, and 3 cases of cervical cancer reported after the administration of HPV vaccines. There were a total.
I understand, Norma, that only 1% of the incidents of distress after this vaccine are actually reported. How would that alter the numbers?
Well, there were 592 reports filed totally after HPV vaccines. If, and let's be generous here, what if actually 10% get reported? If 10% are reported, that means that 191 people are injured after HPV vaccinations in the United States every single day.
Ooh. Oh.
And if it's only 1%, that would make it 1,910 people every day.
Well,
that's frightening. I don't know how anybody in their right mind can justify that kind of risk to try and prevent an already preventable disease.
Have you interviewed Diane Harper, who is one of the creators, I believe, of this vaccine?
She was the lead researcher in one of the trials, and yes, we've talked to Diane Harper. In fact, I had the distinct pleasure of meeting Diane Harper when she was on the Katie Couric show. I was flown in to be there, too. And, yes, we have spoken with her, and she feels that as far as cancer preventive measures, HPV vaccines do relatively no good in developed countries. Now, she reserves the opinion that they might do good in countries where Pap screening is not available, but my personal opinion and the opinion of the same VAX team is it would be much better to train some cytologists and get Pap screening instituted.
We have a most peculiar scenario transpiring in inner city of both New York City and I know Philadelphia, where they are going after the women and their children to accept an HPV vaccine through the salon. And they are bragging that this is stupendous. They are saying that because people trust, they keep using the word trust because this is the issue, because they trust their hairdressers, that they will listen to them if they are promoting the HPV vaccine, which they are doing. And in New York, they're actually asking the women to sign a paper saying they intend to get it and for their daughters as well. I don't know that it had been introduced for boys at that point. So they're actually signing a paper. And I am kind of amazed by how far the pharmaceutical industry will go to entrap women who might normally not be taking this vaccine.
Absolutely. It's absolutely horrendous. I mean, how much does your hairdresser know about your health care? She doesn't know if you have allergies. She doesn't know if you're prone to vaccine adverse events. She doesn't know if your family has a history of autoimmune disorders. How can they possibly ask a hairdresser to recommend a medical treatment?
Well, they all wear buttons that say, ask me about HPV.
Then maybe they need to get educated about HPV and how little risk it actually is. 90% of all HPV infections clear on their own within 2 years with no treatment and no symptoms. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, they have this wonderful chart that they prepared where they showed worldwide all of those infected with HPV 16 or 18. Those are the two strains that are in the vaccine. Of all of the people ever infected with HPV 16 or 18, only, now get this percentage, 0.15% will ever develop cervical cancer. Now, what kind of justification for mass vaccination is that?
Well, I want to tell you, I did a survey of my own. I went to my skin doctor, who basically addresses warts that are created by the human papillomavirus. And I said to him, this is the kind of, you would be the appropriate doctor to visit were someone to develop HPV? He said, yes. I said, well, you're a very popular doctor. I would always see a line outside your door. I would presume you see 500 patients a week. He said, that's about right. I said, you're an elderly gentleman. You've been practicing for 50 years. Is that about right? He said, that's correct. I said, how many cases of HPV have you addressed in all these years with all these clients? And he said, one. And I said, how old was that? Right. And how old was that client? She was in her late 40s.
Yeah. Well, the whole point, Sally, is we've got to get worldwide the same thing Japan did for their constituents, their medical consumers. We have to get open, honest, public scientific debates about the benefits and risks of HPV vaccines. If you put science up against psychosomatic reactions, at least in Japan, science won.
Well, I am going to open the floor to you, as I did to Brita, and say to you, there are so many statistics. There's one thing I would really like you to address, because I find that no matter what vaccine I'm speaking to somebody about, typical reactions to those vaccines listed so that people can identify what a reaction to the Gardasil vaccine beyond death might be. Would you kindly list those reactions and then give us any news that Frida has not already covered?
Oh, my goodness. Those reactions that have been reported to VAERS, it would take me approximately 3 minutes to run through, but primarily what we're seeing is onset autoimmune disorders, and that covers a whole range. There are 76-plus autoimmune disorders. When your body starts attacking itself, that can happen to any organ, any muscle, any bone, anything in your body. That's an autoimmune condition. That's what it is. We're seeing neurological damage. We're seeing infertility. We're seeing early onset menopause. We're seeing paralysis. We're seeing Guillain-Barré syndrome. We're seeing POTS, post-orthostatic tachycardial system. That's where your heartbeat does not beat at the same rhythm all of the time. You're at risk for fainting. You're at risk for death. We're seeing hypoallergic reactions. We're seeing girls that can no longer eat any of the normal foods that they used to eat. We're seeing blindness. We're seeing deafness. We're seeing I could go on and on. The list is horrendous. But doctors aren't trained to recognize a vaccine injury. They go through all of the list of possible diseases that they've been educated to recognize, but they don't understand. They've been taught that a vaccine reaction is so rare that they may never see one in their entire career.
Well, you have the inserts to the vaccines that show not only the ingredients, but the adverse reactions directly from the manufacturer. Am I correct about that on stainvax.org?
Yes, we do have one available. We've also got a presentation that we made. In fact, in our PowerPoint presentation that we sent to you, it lists all of the reactions that have been reported, and it's about, if it's single-spaced, little tiny type, I think it's 2 pages long. It's unbelievable.
Wow. I will post that underneath the radio. I will post the link to that underneath the radio. And if not there, then in the comment area. I always do this. I tell my listeners, scroll down to the comment area, because we will update it with information that has been discussed on the show beyond what is directly under the screen. And I ask both you and Frida Burrell to do that as well. But, okay. So in terms of breaking news, I do want to get back to what else is transpiring in the world. Like, for example, here in Utah, this was big news. Not a lot of people reported it, but the health commissioner decided not to stock the Gardasil vaccine. I don't know what happened to his career. He might have been the mayor or the health commissioner of Utah. Are you familiar with this?
Yes, I am familiar with that case. And, yes, he did do that. He refused to stock HPV vaccines. I think it was a brilliant move on his part. We're seeing an absolute revolution, basically, worldwide. Doctors are finally starting to recognize that vaccine injuries can and do occur. And many, many of them are gathering together, working across disciplines, to try and establish diagnostic criteria for vaccine injuries. They're trying to determine who is most likely to suffer a vaccine adverse event and why. And most importantly, they're trying to develop successful treatment protocols. Now, unfortunately for the victims, it takes time to do that. So right now we're operating on a hit and miss. This works for one, it may or may not work for another, and doctors are very, very frustrated.
Well, one thing I've noticed personally among the HPV people who have received it is a huge draining of their energy. They are exhausted constantly. And one girl, Sarah Sotomayor, who I'm sure you know, I've tried to interview her three times. She's just been too tired.
Yes. And
here she is, a young,
frequently
vibrant
girls
girl.
Are too tired to eat. It's unbelievable the amount of devastation that these vaccines have caused. I am not supposed to say that these vaccines are associated with.
Well, you can say it on my program. Certainly, there's nobody, no censorship here, short of the radio station themselves pulling the plug, no censorship here. But
Sally, there's one thing that, there's only two countries that I'm aware of in the world that compare their adverse events to doses actually administered. One of those is Denmark, and when they started getting reports on HPV vaccines, of the doses actually administered, a full one-third of the people who got them reported adverse events. In Japan, it was even worse. Of the 3.28 million girls who were injected, over half reported adverse events. And the government analyzed a small sampling of those reports, 2,000 of them, and found that 17.68% of those were serious. That's what's really happening. That's what is not being reported in the United States, because only 1 to 10% of the adverse events hit the VAERS database. Devastation is unbelievable.
How did you become involved with this particular issue? Because you are very concentrated. St. Vax's premier concern is the Gardasil or Cervarix, and I believe I saw another manufacturer mentioned as well. How many of these manufacturers exist that create this vaccine?
There's two actual manufacturers. It's Merck and Company and GlaxoSmithKline. Now, when HPV vaccines were approved, those two companies basically got together and divided up the world. You take this country, you take this country, that type of thing. So there's very few countries where both are administered. Japan happened to be one of them. But the question was how I got involved. I was a freelance journalist, and I was writing articles on how to stay healthy. And I kept running across Gardasil injuries in the United States. And I interviewed them and talked to them, and the more I talked to, the more similar their circumstances sounded. And I just started doing some research, and the deeper I dug, the worse it got, and St. Vax is the result. A bunch of us that were turned around the world got together and said, okay, that's enough.
Would you do me a favor? I've interviewed a lot of autism mothers, and I'm making a movie of all the interviews I've done with regard to with autism mothers. This is a very educational tool. None of them are famous. They're just women who have been stricken, whose children have been stricken in the worst way. It's hard to say what the worst way is, isn't it? The DTaP is so dangerous, and the MMR and all the rest of them. But I haven't been able to interview Gardasil girls simply because they're too tired. If you know any of them who possibly have improved over time and do have the energy for an interview, I very much would like to get a movie out by October addressing their concerns, and their certainly to include this interview as well. But it's very important that people. I'm trying in every way I can to educate people as fast as I can, just like you.
Yeah, We have to check with the victims, of course, but we should be able to help you do that, yes.
Great. Terrific. And if you'd like to come on and co-interview them with me, that'd be delightful as well, because you'll know the best questions to ask, more so than myself, I'm sure. Is there other news that we should be alerted to? Any other progress being made? Manslaughter is my favorite. Short of that, is there other news that is worthy of note?
I just got in communication with an anthropologist in Colombia who is reporting that the government health authorities are actually going door to door and forcing 9-year-olds to be injected with HPV vaccines. He's extremely concerned. The adverse events reports have started coming in. There are no doctors. They're educated to treat them. They have no idea what's going on. And he is going to do his very best to stop HPV vaccines in their country. Peru is one of the only countries that got rid of HPV vaccines, I believe, 2 years ago. Not very much is reported about it. We can't get a really good contact there, but we do have one individual who has given us a copy of an official document in Spanish that indicates since 2012 there have been no HPV vaccines in Peru. We've got some contacts in Argentina that are trying to get rid of HPV vaccines in their country. Good heavens, the list goes on and on. Frida mentioned a bunch of them. Michelle Rabassi's...
I understood that in India they had pulled the Gardasil some time back, and then the next thing you know, we descended with a double live oral polio on the children of India, which they are now, I understand, also going door to door. Now, what about the HPV and infants? I have heard that this is the latest proposal is to give this dangerous vaccine to newborns.
It has not been formally proposed yet. There have been some articles in scientific journals indicating that that might be a good idea. They want to use the hepatitis B vaccine as a template, if you will, because they couldn't get the targeted group to take the hepatitis B vaccine. They put it down to the infant schedule on the first day of birth, and that worked really well to get the uptake up. Unfortunately for those poor innocent babies, it didn't work quite so well. But there's some talk that they want to use the hepatitis B vaccine as a model for getting the HPV vaccine down to where they can control the uptake.
Right.
In other words,
also
put it in the infant
schedule.
In
New York, they were recommending at one point that every 5 years, the HPV vaccine triple dose be administered, and we've been fighting the HPV in our schools. I understand that the high school in Brooklyn, two girls had received the HPV in their high school, and we have been running up to Albany, and we have prevailed. So this is happening whether the laws are permitting it or not. They are managing to get these vaccines into children.
Exactly, and it's my opinion that schools have no business vaccinating for anything, and the reason is just read any vaccine's package insert. There is the potential for an adverse event. School nurses are not adequately trained to recognize them. School nurses have no idea what their students' medical history is. They may know about a few allergies like food allergies, but they will certainly not know if they're allergic to any components in any of the vaccine. They're not likely to know what those components are. It's a recipe for disaster.
Well, I want to thank both you, Norma Erickson, and Frida Burrell, who set this interview up with the three of us. I appreciate that, Frida. Are you still there, dear?
Yes, I am. I've been listening. Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Please say farewell, both of you, because we only have a minute left. This is Sally O.L. Cordy of Billion Toddler March for Survival. blogspot.com, and please promote whatever you need to now.
Well, I would like one final statement. We no longer can justify sacrificing our children's health and perhaps their very lives in the name of the public health. Greater good is not